Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Well, hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode number 134. My name is Brooke Taylor. I'm so glad you're here. The happiest music, and that sets the tone. I am doing a jig. Today is going to be such an energized program, and there's a lot going on. We're just coming off of Laetare Sunday, which is to rejoice. Plus, we just had daylight savings time, so we're seeing more sunshine. Mama likes that. I really need that. And just feeling more energized with that. And then we have St. Patrick's Day, and that's where we're going to fit in today's show. It's kind of in a roundabout way, talking about St. Patrick, walking in his example, achieving remarkable things against great odds. He was determined, he was courageous, and actually in my line of sight, when I'm on the treadmill, I have printed out the St. Patrick's breastplate prayer, the Lorica, which means breastplate of St. Patrick. If you do a search, it's actually quite long. Every word, though, is powerful. And so just a part that I have printed out is this. It says, I arise today through the strength of heaven, the light of the sun, the splendor of fire, the speed of lightning. I usually look at that when I'm about to pass out on the treadmill. I have it underlined and in bold. Swiftness of the wind, depth of the sea, stability of the earth, firmness of the rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me. And again, it goes on, and it is so awesome. And I was actually just reading, I'm going to pull it up because I think it's good. I think you'll like this. It's 15 things you probably didn't know about St. Patrick. So I'm going to actually read, but one of them is on there, that prayer that he probably didn't write that prayer. I hadn't heard that. So, but it's still really great. And this is from Peanut Butter and Grace. I love the website. I get their newsletters. They have such wonderful ideas for liturgical living. And so they have, I'm not going to read all 15, but 15 things you probably didn't know about St. Patrick. One of them was that he wasn't immediately successful as a missionary. He persisted, though. His mission met with all sorts of resistance. He was robbed, attacked, imprisoned, but he never gave up. He succeeded in converting thousands, both chieftains and commoners, before the Irish no people had submitted to the Christian faith that were not within the empire. He also, here's another fact, became a preacher, but not a scholar. He was a slave during the years he would have otherwise been a student, and he admits his inability to write well and his lack of education. He says, "This is why I have long thought to write, but up until now I have hesitated because I feared what people would say. This is because I did not learn as others did, who drank in equally well both the law and sacred writings. Patrick did not allow his ignorance or the formidable education of others to interfere with his mission to the Irish." He says, "I never had any other reason for returning to that nation from which I had earlier escaped except the gospel and God's promises." I really love that, because how often do we talk about, have I thought, do you second guess our qualifications? Am I qualified? And to be a friend of Christ and to study the gospel means to trust that he will equip us. So I love that. Also, Patrick wrote an autobiographical sketch called Confession. It's so beautiful, about how he wanted his life to be understood. And you can find that online, St. Patrick's Confessio. Oh, and then the one I was mentioning, the prayer of St. Patrick was not created by him, but it could have been. It said the hymn is attributed to Patrick, the prayer, and it has the feel of traditional Irish blessings, but modern experts date it from the 700s. A lovely tradition has it that the Lorica shielded Patrick and his companions from ambush by a chieftain's soldiers. Afterwards, Patrick's group approached the chieftain, chanting, "Let them that will trust in chariots and horses, but we walk in the name of the Lord." So all of that, what does that have to do tying into today's show? And there's so much to talk about with the Feast of St. Patrick's Day because there are parades across the country. And it's one of those feast days I love because the entire world in some ways, especially Americans, become Catholic. They celebrate this beautiful saint. Everyone's talking like they're a leprechaun. I mean, it's just great. But today, going back to his example of endurance and perseverance and fortitude, we're going to take it more into our own faith journeys. And how, as St. Patrick, can he inspire us through the ages? And how can living, breathing witnesses inspire us, like Rebecca Dussault? She is our guest on today's show, and she knows a little bit about that, about winning and determination as an Olympic athlete, a multi-sport competitor, and also someone focused on winning souls for Christ, having this burning determination. And so we are delighted to welcome her on the show today, a wife, a mom of five, the founder of Fit Catholic Mom. And so she's not only going to share a little bit of her story, but also where she is today. And I think, I hope, light that fire that we can feel. As she puts it in the interview, we begin believing this is day one. So take a listen via Skype, an interview with former Olympic athlete Rebecca Dussault. We are delighted to welcome to the show Rebecca. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hey, good morning, Brooke. Great to be with you this morning.
I know that your name is going to be familiar to a lot of our listeners for a couple different reasons, not only for the athletic spotlight, but social media today that you have. You're a speaker, Olympian athlete. So that's where I want to start. Your incredible physical prowess, but then also the fusion of body and soul. And we really want to catch like that champion Power Wheaties inspiration. So if you could you just give us like a little snapshot of your highlights, your athletic career, I guess, more specifically?
Sure. I've rightly dubbed myself the multi-sport mama. And maybe it's a short attention span. I don't know what it is, but I've dabbled in a lot of sports. The only one I took to the actual Olympic level was cross-country skiing. But having said that, I've been able to use the fitness and everything that that's taught me through that school of sport to apply in many other areas. So I also do adventure racing, winter and summer triathlon, and other such kind of offshoots of those. So world championships of four different sports on three different continents.
Oh, wow.
But cutting back to cross-country skiing, that's the biggest thread through all of it.
And you did swimming, too, for a while, didn't you, early on?
Yeah, early on, I thought I'd be a gymnast in the Olympics first, and that just didn't pan out. You know, if you don't have the resources and can't see the pipeline for how to develop, you just kind of fizzle out. So, yeah, gymnastics only till 16, soccer till 18. I did swimming till, about 16 as well. And it was right around that time that cross-country skiing emerged as what I was going to do. And I'll tell you why, because you can't not have this story. But for as many times as I remember being at swim meets or gymnastics competitions, I don't ever remember my mom on the beam or my mom in the swim pool or my family right in there with me. But when we got to cross-country skiing, they were on the trail with me.
Aww.
They'd be out on the trail ahead of the race or behind the race or somehow out in the woods frolicking in the snow and enjoying family time inside of the race atmosphere. And so that I thought, you know, this is really family oriented. I really love this. And then to make it even more appealing to me, our priest took us moonlight skiing and said the mass for us.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm standing on my cross country skis and receiving our Lord in the Eucharist. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I got it. God, cross country skiing and God go together.
Wow. Okay. So really then it sounds like early on, you've always been physically active as a family and your faith, that was just from the beginning, how you were conditioned.
Very much so. And unfortunately, due to my parents' divorce early in my life, my mom decided that she just would plug us in. She would plug us into every sport in the rec program brochure. And so we had our time very full of just everything we could compete at, travel to. So it was a good and well-rounded foundation. And then with cross-country skiing emerging out of that. And immediately I was a success around Colorado, where we lived at the time, and then around the nation, and eventually...
You are those kids, Rebecca. When I go skiing, which is rare these days, I see those four-year-olds and they're flying by me. I'm like, oh, I'm jealous of a four-year-old. They're so good when they're young. But that was you, it sounds like.
Yeah, it really was. I probably had alpine skis on at four, and I didn't put cross-country skis on until I was nine. But wow. There was something about gliding, living in Colorado with such an abundance of snow in the winter. It was like play. You know, you could go out and play and reconnect with all that was really fun and important to learn as a kid. And I just thought it was the coolest thing. So I didn't have a problem developing in that sport line because I could see the pipeline that, hey, here's how you get to the top. And gosh, you could do this all the way to the grave. And I've certainly done it all the way into labor a couple of times. So.
Well, you know, I really appreciate that because in looking at athletes, sometimes it's easy to say, well, that is their everything. That is their idol, I guess. But it sounds like for you, and I know that you were homeschooled, right? So that must have been a component, that you really did have a balance that even though you are really a great, fierce competitor, you also had that understanding of something greater.
Absolutely. And as my career developed so rapidly, even at 19 years old, I was already winning nationals. So from the height of U.S. skiing and the top step of the podium that year, I had discerned that there was some other call that God was laying on my heart, and that was to lay it all down and to retire. Because the immorality that an athlete can experience in the world of sport, I was acutely aware of that from traveling for a couple of years with the U.S. ski team in Europe, but I never had even a Christian teammate really. And so to get over there and be trying to find mass and trying to pray and just being chastised about my faith all the time, I was worn out on trying to represent our faith, our great nation and my family abroad, and just feeling like coaches and teammates, you know, tormenting me for my morality. And so I was worn out on that and retired at 19 and said, okay, Lord, you have something else in mind. And I've just got to, you know, go with this conviction in my heart. And so I did retire.
God bless you, though, for in the midst of that. I know so often feeling like, okay, I wasn't prepared to be a disciple or a missionary in this particular way, but how God appoints us. And just by your presence, you know, who knows the seeds that you planted. And one of the things I saw, was it before you retired, just your evangelization of natural family planning, of NFP?
Yeah, that became, oddly enough, the way in which I could really reach out to teammates and things. Because you know how it is. The world says, bring your body. Oh, leave your soul. Leave all your spirituality. Oh, you're religious. Really leave that. You know, don't bring any of that. And the church is so beautiful because it says, of course, bring body and soul. It never asks us to check our body at the door as we enter Mass. And so to integrate that fully my whole life and understand the beauty and truth that I live and understand inside and letting that radiate outside. And part of that became an authentic witness to natural family planning. I had commitments to the Olympic level, as did all my teammates. And of course, I was the only married athlete at the time, so it was an interesting way to evangelize. Don't use this like contraception, you know, but natural family planning, I can trust completely in this beautiful method all the way to the Olympics and know that it works and that I can then, that was my biggest, I'll just say, my biggest discernment when we decided to go as a family the next 2.5 years to the Olympics was, we've already started our family. Can we really use natural family planning morally? To postpone our next pregnancy. So spiritually we sought advice and got past that hurdle a little bit that, hey, you know, we're really young, we're 24, we just are just starting our married life. We have time to be fruitful and multiply as well, but let's go be salt and light in sport where it's mission territory.
That's right. And then now I feel bad because I kind of skipped over you actually meeting your husband, but it sounds like he was a pretty firm believer and you guys were in lockstep from the start.
Yeah, from 11 years on, we had been at the same parish, but somehow we took a greater notice of one another through sport, actually having met his sister in gymnastics. And then I went to jump on her trampoline and they came to jump on our trampoline. You know, then it was like the whole end of the story. It's just like, oh, there's an older brother. But as they pulled their children out of public school to homeschool, I thought, wow, you guys are going to get a solid Catholic education. You're going to have time to pray as a family, and you're going to travel, and you're going to just really have experiential learning. I want that. I want all of that. And so their mom agreed to homeschool me. So for 6 years
what?
Through middle school and high school, their mother homeschooled me.
Oh, that
now,
is beautiful.
That's heroic, right? I'm looking at my own household going, a take on another student.
That's not your own kid, but you know, you had, so there was this burning in your heart. That's amazing at that age to desire that.
Well, if I could just paint it quickly in a couple of words, my household was my hell. Divorced parents, squabbling, rebellious siblings. My mom was working full-time to put herself through college as the first college graduate from her family. She was working two jobs, going to school full-time, and so did the best by us, even despite that. But it was still my hell. And when I experienced this other functioning Catholic household that prayed together and played together and absolutely didn't idolize anything worldly, I thought, that is my heaven, and I ran to it.
I mean, that transparency, though, I think is so appreciated, because when I hear you early on talk about all of your pursuits and accomplishments, that natural knee-jerk reaction to compare, and I'm thinking, well, when I was that age, like, I was pretty good at slapjack, and I knew how to ride a bike, but I certainly wasn't, you know, traversing the alpine ski world. But then also, too, the ups and downs, you know, that yes, there was a great blessing here, but there's also challenge. And that's a story for all of us. And that reminder just to rest in where God is calling you. And it's a beautiful reminder. So I guess in picking back up with the story, so you're married, you had this great foundation. And now today, you've retired from at least an Olympic pursuit. You have Fit Catholic Mom. Can you tell us about your aim with Fit Catholic Mom?
Yeah, so Fit Catholic Mom is something born out of the last couple of years of effort, being approached by persons who would say, hey, you know, do you train athletes? I'd like to know more about how to stay fit as an adult and how to balance my Catholic household so that I can, you know, have energy in this vocation. And so for almost 4 years now, I've been writing personalized training for female athletes. Ironically, I do have a few men who also sought, you know, training, but that's my great. Heart is to the Catholic woman, because we're so pivotal in our household. We control almost everything, like the activities, the nutrition, the just what we allow our young children to be formed by. We have such a hand in all of it, but we often forget to take a piece of the pie for ourselves. And I don't say that in a selfish way. What I say is that we have got to be fed so we can feed. And we have this hardest vocation on earth. So my mission with Fit Catholic Mom is to help moms crack the code on how to sculpt their body and soul at the same time, and to have their fitness and their faith balanced daily. And then they can, yeah, crush it in this world's hardest vocation every single day, and understand that it's not just for those who grew up as athletes or those who have some goal to run a 5K, their fastest or something. But how does the average, you know, Jane Catholic mom take care of herself physically? So I use the pillars of faith and fitness and food. I will say my business is in the growing pains of scaling up, because I want to reach many and more women. So I'm in an intense transition right now to make that happen. But our mission is just to renew in the Catholic home the sense of the need to steward body and soul both. And I'll draw from a quote from St. Amma Secletus, one of the early desert mothers. She says, the body is like a warrior. Sorry, the body is the armor. The soul is like the warrior. If you train both, you'll be ready for anything. And I think just knowing my own life and the trials I've received physically, spiritually, mentally, having real good fitness and wholeness in all those areas has made it more weatherable, of course, with God's strength and mercy. Totally.
It's interesting to hear you then say how you're scaling up and you're growing, and how all of those early years of tackling things at a very high level really plays into what you're doing now as homeschool mom, as wife, as still athlete and helping others. And what beautiful preparation the Lord has. His pedagogy is perfect. And in looking at your social media as well, it's really neat to just not only see you offer quick tips and takeaways, but share other stories as well. You were talking about a woman, I think on your Instagram, who is 50 and just started skiing and cut out, like, she's doing like this low carb, low sugar, lost 50 pounds. Mm-hmm. So that's got to keep you going too.
Yeah, I've skied with her twice now, and just to see her radiant health and her, I don't think she's even a Christian, and we honestly haven't gone that far in our first initial two lessons, but just to see her radiantly living a new truth that she communicates through her flesh, that her flesh is no longer this thing she hauls around and loathes and is afraid of and uncontrolled with, but she's really taken it by the horns, and you can see the level to which this inspires her, and it goes way beyond her. It's the ripple effect, and that's what I hope to be, is to ripple into Catholic homes and help these moms understand this stewardship. And it's the church cannot but encourage the harmonious development of the whole human body, as the Catechism tells us.
Yes.
You know, there will always be support there, where we see that it's an integrated development for humans. And to that end, too, I just want to make clear, I've, of course, spent my time in weight rooms and on treadmills and all those various things. But largely what I teach is how to exercise at home with your children or without your children, but they're nonetheless there and seeing you do it, because you're communicating a great physical and school, a moral school of excellence through sport, too, at home. So some of the training is at home. Occasionally you get to, you know, get out and get your own mommy space, but I don't want moms to have to farm out their kids and have a gym membership and blah, blah. You know, to me, that's all just noise. That is not at the core of what it means to take care of your Catholic woman and soul and body. You know, that's, we'll cut out of that stuff.
I agree. And I know there are so many amening right now and agreeing, but that mental aspect comes into play. I mean, sports psychology is a big thing, rightly so. So can you talk a little bit about that, the chatterbox talk that goes on in our heads? We know it, but the enemy can be very powerful in getting a foothold to say, I don't have the time, I feel guilty, I'm not worth it, I don't have the energy. I know that's a big one, because I live it daily. I'm tired, but still, I am going to get up, I am going to just put my shoes on, and then my body will follow. So do you have any tips for kind of that gold medal mindset to have more confidence to do it?
Right. The biggest piece is mindset, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Like in so many things. But so I just, some simple routines I can put into place that help. And I still have to use them too. Even as an Olympian, I'm not just motivated every single day and just drop everything and go work out. That's really not how I come by it with five kids in the home that all need me. But simple things like laying out my workout clothes the night before and time blocking and saying, okay, tomorrow, or even a set alarm on my phone, say tomorrow at 10, I'm going to do a half an hour of continuous dance with the kids. We're going to put on our favorite Christian artists. We're going to dance. We're going to move and groove. And so like laying out and having that visual trigger of, oh, there's my sporting clothes. I probably ought to get in those today. Or even sometimes I've dressed into them from the top of the morning and maybe even put a little, you know, a little skirt on or whatever over and thought, I'm going to wear these workout clothes until I use them, until they're sweaty enough to take off, you know, later. A couple other things, person, time, and place. If you have, we as humans show up, if we have a person we're meeting, a time we're meeting, and a place we're meeting. And then part of this can be just in your own home. If you know five things to do to get physically fit, five exercises, and you invite two girlfriends and their kids over and they each know five things, all of a sudden you have 15 stations that you could exercise through, and the kids get a play date besides. So, and I encourage moms too, if you need mom space, take a meal and kids to a friend's house and say, here's your whole family dinner for tonight. I cooked for you. Here's the kids, and I'll be back in 2 hours, and go take some space. Moms have such a hard time just commanding a little bit of space for themselves. But if we do that, we can mom better. If we just are always poured out, but never get an inpouring of that God conversation and that inspiration to come back to our kids more whole and more healthy, and then we're not doing a justice by the whole the whole household. So
okay, so say we're there and are doing it, things are going well, we are hitting our stride, and then there's an injury. You know, I hear that a lot too, where people live with chronic pain, complicated physical issues. How do we start to rebuild mentally? Let's start there. And maybe it begins with a prayer, Lord, give me the will, give me the motivation, the energy, the endurance, but to get inside our minds and overcome when not only are we fighting just the logistics, but the physical realities that we might have some struggles as well.
Absolutely, all of us will have struggles of one sort or another. And And to get inside that and realize we can only start with what we have. You know, if it's me, I just had back-to-back pregnancies and we lost one of our babies, and there I was 48 pounds heavier than I'd ever been. I had to start there. Can't wait until I'm, you know, back to 125 and be like, oh, now I'll be an athlete. No, you have to start right where you're at. So if you have an injury, say a leg injury or something, man, you can still do so much for your core and your arms and your other leg and your back. And you know, so it's like, I think not caving in saying I can't, but what can I do? So looking at that glass half full for sure, and realizing that this life is replete with crosses, small crosses, hidden crosses. Sometimes yes. You look at a beautiful woman, you have no idea that she, in the case of my friend, bleeds for 3 out of every 4 weeks because of 7 babies in 8 years,
oh,
and has a really, really, really hard struggle that I would never know looking at supermodel Stacy, you know? And so we're so apt to judge and say, oh, that person totally gets it. But we don't understand the struggles, and all of us have them. So rising and saying, I'm going to pick up my cross, and I'm going to, you know, pick it up a couple times today. I'm going to pick it up a couple more tomorrow. You know, the next day I'm going to carry it all day. You know, soon enough, we're like, I'm going to run with my cross because, my goodness, we've got a lot of work to do before heaven.
Yes.
And just rehabbing ourselves out of a place of self-hate as women, as Catholics, we often think, oh, it's so vain, very vain to want to be physically beautiful or work on that aspect of myself. It's really not. It's not vanity. It's loving ourselves enough that we don't leave ourselves where we're at. Just God does that for us in our spiritual, in our soul. I love you so much just the way you are, but too much to leave you right there. Can you come on a journey with me? You know, come and follow me. And we have to do that for ourselves too, physically, and say, I love myself enough that I'm not going to stay right here and say I'm just within my comfort zone. I'm not going to extend myself, because the valuable lessons of applying ourselves physically in that moral school of excellence, as I've already called it in this conversation, is really there. It teaches us on one level. The spiritual walk teaches us on another. And when we put those together, we have a dynamic. Then you encounter a dynamic Catholic who radiates truth and communicates it, because we've got this interior reality, but we want to attract the world to truth. And so, unfortunately, they just take up that means of the body, and we've got to too, as the church, because we always have set the standard for truth, beauty, and goodness. So let's keep doing it.
Yes, and to be that living, not just light, but bonfire, you know, that is so bright in the darkness. And I want to take an underline and highlighter to what you said earlier on. You said we've got a lot of work to do until heaven. And in my own life, I'm noticing a time of transition where I'm going to be turning 40 this year. My daughter does require a little bit more of a caregiver role, so things are getting a little bit more physical for me. So it's hit me that I really have to take my health seriously, and that, you know, for the rest of my life, the rest of her life, that I'm going to be caring for her. And yes, she will get more independent, but what that's going to look like, I don't know. And so I know nutrition is a huge component. And that's where, if I do better on athletics and running and getting my miles in for the week, so often then I sabotage myself because I will want to eat more chocolate than I probably should. And so any tips you can offer in terms of nutrition and taking our health and diet seriously?
Yeah, absolutely. Nutrition is a very pivotal spot that we have got to try to get right. And to that end, everyone's recipe, pardon the pun, is a little bit different. So one person might feel awesome on paleo, another person might just need low carb, someone else might need something else. The bottom line is we all need to not be on the sad American diet, or the standard American diet, which is the SAD, sad diet. And we need to just reclaim our health and realize there's a better way to eat. I mean, I'm like most of the moms probably listening. I shop at Costco, but what do you buy when you're at Costco? You know, I like to feed a large family economically just as well as the other person.
Right.
So I encourage women a couple things. Get to know local farmers. If you've got a lot of homeschooled kids, say, hey, could we come weed once a week and take home a box of produce? Simple. Think outside the box. Volunteer at the farmer's market and say, hey, my kids will pick up trash and we'll clean up booths and we'll whatever. And at the end, trade with them for produce all summer long, whatever it is. Or put some seeds in your own ground and say, hey, I don't really have time for gardening, But I'm going to take that 3-hour window of time and scatter seeds, which are going to bear fruit just because God is so awesome to water my garden for me on occasion, whatever it is. Learn food. Really understand what it is you're eating. I look at food and I say to harm or to heal. They're both 4-letter words. I'm going to heal my body with this food, or I'm going to harm my body with this food. That's not to say I don't ever have fun. I love pastries. I could die eating pastries. But how often do I eat them? I save them for a super treat. And I don't reward myself for working out with food. When I work out and when I feel that increased stamina and strength and energy, I eat better. Then I have that arugula salad with cashews and avocado, and I'm like, this tastes like dessert to me. You know, and then on Sunday, when I've really held my ship together all week, that was ship with a P. I'm sorry. You and I, we've thrown out our oddities. When I've kept my ship from capsizing, you know, and then I go to Donut Sunday after 8:30 Mass and want to sit down and fellowship with friends. Yes, I'm going to have a donut. Yes, I am with my coffee. And I know that I put in the hard work all week so that that reward feels better. Not reward, but that little, you know, giving into something that I do love and that pleasure is attached to. And
yes,
and I know right now, our family, for all of Lent, being Eastern Catholics, we eat almost 100% vegan for Lent. But the more we enter this fast, the greater the feast. Easter for us is like transformative. It's huge. It's everything glorious and glorified as our Lord will be in a few short weeks, because it's to the measure that we've entered the fast and allowed ourselves to go without and to struggle through that. And pick up that cross, then we can enter with full joy to the feast.
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful. And I'm curious too, I don't think that we introduced this side of you in the interview, but off the air, we were talking a little bit about your tradition, Byzantine Catholic, but you also, you more frequently attend a Roman Catholic church based on geography. Then I'm curious, because Great Lent is, it started a week after the Roman Catholic, which one do you observe? Because Easter will fall a week later, right, in the Eastern Rite?
Well, so the Eastern Orthodox observe the Julian calendar. This is my understanding. Anyone can correct me if I'm wrong. They do observe the old Julian calendar, whereas Eastern Catholics, Byzantine, Ruthenian and Ukrainian, they follow the Gregorian calendar. So
okay.
We are actually in sync with the Roman Church, which is awesome, because then it's easy to go back and forth between the two. And that's what we do daily in our home. We do morning and evening prayer out of the Magnificat, but we also sprinkle those with our chanted Eastern morning and evening prayer. When we say the rosary, we chant it. We just kind of get away from the Byzantine chanting.
It's
always a hybrid in our home, so that the kids are attached to the traditions and the rituals of both, and feel comfortable anywhere they go in the world. I've been to Mass all over the world. Only once had to get a dispensation, and that was to go to China and race for 10 days. And I just want my kids to know that they have a household of faith anywhere they go in our universal Catholic faith. And
yes.
So I love to give them that. We also do the Latin Mass on occasion. Experience it, because it's so, we were saying off here, the richness, the depth, the breadth, the height. I mean, really, can you ever exhaust it in the Catholic faith? Never.
I know. And that's what is just so exciting about it. It's like you go in and open this door and there's a palace and you just don't think it can get any better. And then you open another door and it's like, oh my goodness, look in here. You know, all these rooms that contain the graces of heaven. And so, and what also I think is neat is the spirituality of our children. They might like the Liturgy of the Hour. Someone else might like to do a novena or to go to adoration. There's so many different things that we can be steeped in. So it sounds like you do a beautiful job. And then the physical. So as we conclude, I guess the last question I wanted to ask was, any final takeaways for all that you do, all that you see, that you really want women to know? I know that you have a mission statement, but so what's the biggest thing you want to spotlight?
I think the biggest thing I want to spotlight is the forming of our children. As a home educator myself, I can get so bent out on the education and sometimes lose sight of the formation. And to pull it all back into the core of our household, what are we forming our children for? If we're trying to raise saints, there's going to be days when we put down the books, when we put down the extracurriculars, and we pull it all back into the center and say, let's make sure character is being formed. And so as moms, a big part of that is for us to demonstrate that formation we've received and that we choose to give, to just continually demonstrate that both in our own prayer life, so that our spirituality is very palpable by our children. Our you know, intense prayer life is actually happening because we feed that fire, you know, and then physically too, demonstrate health. It's not here, Johnny and Jill, you get one cookie and mommy turns around and stuffs four into her mouth. We want to be, are you laughing? Cause that's been you. No, I mean, really, we all do this as moms. I'm a mom too. I totally get it, but we don't want to sabotage their formation by being ill-formed ourselves. Like, we're above the rules. No, let's play right. The same game.
What you're trying to say then is I do need to take that chocolate bag out of my closet. I need to just come clean. And
all good things in moderation.
It's true.
You know, I mean, really, each person's got to discern where they're at with this. But we want to have that clarity with our kids, is that, yeah, you know, I care so much for your health and happiness and holiness that you're going to watch mommy care equally as much for her health, wholeness, and happiness. You know, like, we've got to, because they're going to do and say and act out everything they see from us.
Right. You know, they hear some of what we say, but they see everything we do. And I know it's true. And like you said, going back to Lent, that the more we enter into the fast, the greater the feast. And that's a beautiful thing. It's not a severe punishment, but it's an invitation. And so I love that reminder.
Yeah. And I think also realize a large part of our almsgiving is just in our home. Just
yes.
We don't have to think too far away. Our mission territory is firstly our own homes. So just start again. This is day one for you, right, for me. We don't want to just say one day. One day is not congruent with the Catholic woman. We don't want to just have one day and have a million things we want to put back there. But just day one, start simple and get going, get traction.
I'm ready. I feel like I'm at the top of the hill and it's just going to open the gate. I'm going to go. So thank you.
All right.
Thank you for that. That's the coach in you, but also the mom and the faithful woman. And how can we find you to connect online?
Yeah, Fit Catholic Mom everywhere, on all social media. My website, fitcatholicmom.com. My name, you might happen upon an older website, rebeccadusseau.com. All things will funnel you to contact information and just, I hope, a place of inspiration and truth and beauty and goodness as I, you know, I seek to guard what the church has handed us. And thank her for her beauty in that regard.
Well, you are doing a beautiful job. Thank you for all you do. And thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you have a wonderful Lent.
Oh, Easter. God bless you. Thank you. Eyes on the prize.
Yes. And that's not the chocolate bag. It's much more than that. Thanks, Rebecca.
Amen. Thank you, Brooke.
Thank you again to Rebecca Dusseau. Again, you can find her online at Fit Catholic Mom. And I feel like we've just kind of been in a boot camp together. This is exciting. I do feel determined. So lots to think about. God bless you as you begin. And now that we get closer, 1 week closer to Easter and all the riches that are pouring out day by day from the gospel readings that we read to the feast days to the preparation of Holy Week. Some pretty powerful things, and also so appreciate your prayers as we draw 1 week closer to the Arise retreat. Thank you also to our Podbean patrons for your support. And if you would like to support the show in this way, all you need to do is click on Become a GTR Good Friend of the Show. Also, a big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire. So for any audio needs you may have, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. And in the words of Pope Francis, his 2018 message for Lent, if at times the flame of charity seems to die in our own hearts, know that this is never the case in the heart of God. He constantly gives us a chance to begin loving anew. God bless you, friends. Until next week, peace and love.